The effects of our merit-celebrating society aren't hard to miss. Trophies, medals, college acceptance and graduation parties, on and on. But wanting to be the best and get the best, and for your kid to get the best, can lead people down some dark paths. Yesterday, we learned that actress Lori Loughlin, her husband, and a number of others already charged in an admissions scandal for breaking rules to get their kids into college now face additional charges of federal program bribery. Not everyone in a meritocracy resorts to criminal activity, but our next guest says there are some deep-seated problems in the way we handle inequality in this country, and the college admission scandal is just one symptom. Victor Tan Chen is an assistant professor of sociology at Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond, where he studies economic inequality. Victor, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great to be with you, Rob.
A lot of attention to the college admission scandal story, Victor, is celebrities, wealthy people, but not super wealthy people doing this unsavory behavior. You say there's a deeper story. This is just a symptom of a bigger problem in our society. Can you flesh that out for us?
Sure. I mean, the deeper story is growing inequality and the kind of hyper competition it generates. I mean, this scandal, the bribery scandal, is extreme example, as you said, but it's a symptom of just this a broader culture of competition by any means necessary to kind of get your kids a leg up in this race. And it's driven by the fact that the gaps between rich and poor are growing in this country, which makes the stakes of this game we play over colleges, over jobs, and so on, all the greater. And that leads to some dysfunctional behaviors, as we've seen, not just in this case, but in elsewhere in our society.
And you point the finger at the American version of meritocracy. First, can you we hear the word. Can you spell out what we mean when we say meritocracy?
Yeah, meritocracy is a system where the talented and hardworking advance, right? And we really pride ourselves on that in America. It's part of the American dream, right, that you work hard and you make something yourself. The problem that we've had as inequality has grown in this country is that some individuals are able to game the system, and they've been able to game the system for their kids as well. And so if we're judging ourselves based on our talents and our skills, some parents are better able to provide that kind of nurturing to gain those talents and skills. But also some parents, and the wealthy among us particularly fall into this camp, are able to just rig the system in terms of getting their kids special treatment, in terms of getting admission into elite colleges and so on. I mean, that's a bigger problem than just the fact that we have this meritocratic competition.
Even short of that hyper-wealthy person being able to game the system, and short of actual criminal activity like in these cases we read about in the papers, can you spell out how those differences you were talking about, the differences in resources and access and things like that, might play out even at lower levels?
Yeah. Well, in this day and age, or in our economy, so much depends on one's academic performance, whether one goes to college or not. And so there's a bigger payoff to investing in children than was the case before. And so across the board, not just among the wealthy, but across the rich and poor households, there's growing pressure for parents to get involved, right, to provide enrichment opportunities, provide funding to get them into college, but also provide time with the child to develop their skills and to, just enrich their cultural and academic lives. And across the board, parents believe in this, but only certain parents are able to do this to a great extent. And it takes resources, both in terms of education and in terms of finances, to provide that enrichment. And yet, it's so much more important in this knowledge economy where, a college degree is no longer a ticket into the middle class. That kind of anxiety really has risen because the stakes have raised, but the chances that you will actually achieve what your parents achieved, at the same age, have gone down, we've seen, over the last several decades in America.
You just mentioned the word anxiety, and this isn't, sometimes it seems like it isn't, okay, parents doing a good faith effort to make sure their kids do better than they did, but a deep-seated fear that without effort today, their kid is going to slip down the rungs of the economic ladder in the future.
Yeah, and I'm a parent myself of two boys, and you know, and I'm well educated. I have all these advantages, but even then, in an unequal society, you're not just worried about rising up; you're also worried about falling down. And I think that's what we see a lot among the wealthy, is that we've become such a stratified society that falling down the ladder is quite a real possibility, and the fall is quite steep, right? And so you want to do everything you can to make sure your child is successful. And that sort of pressure is not good probably for the parents or for the children in terms of, you know, their well-being and their kind of sense of selves. So I think what the parents who were involved with this bribery scandal went through, when you hear what they say in the courtroom, they're all talking about, I did this for my kids, and I was trying to be a good parent. And that's a twisted logic that I think has become more common in this culture because of the growth of inequality.
Victor Tan Chen is with us, sociologist at Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond, looking at meritocracy in American society, what leads people to helicopter parents to maybe cheat to get their kids into school. Victor, we've talked a little bit about wealthier people and middle class. You've also written a lot about people in the working class and other circumstances toward the bottom of the economic spectrum. What's it looking like from their vantage point?
What I've heard in my interviews with working class individuals and households is that, you know, there used to be a guarantee that if you worked hard, you can make something for yourself, and that you could also do one better for your kids, right? That they would start at a better place because you had worked so hard in your own life. But that kind of promise has faded, as we know from just looking at the data about what we call upward mobility in the society, that the ability to rise up, you know, has gone down, and that there's more stickiness at the top in terms of the rich staying at that high status. So I think that people have grown up in American society believing in this promise of upward mobility, in the promise of the American dream, but they're becoming more anxious about that possibility for their own kids, and in the changes in the economy that make it so much more important to get an education fuel some of those anxieties, because, again, not everyone could invest in their children the way that the wealthy do.
Do you look to other societies that might be better examples as you see it?
Yeah, well, we don't see as much support for what we call intensive parenting in European countries and other places where they have more of a safety net, a government kind of safety net that makes sure if you fall, you don't fall too far, right? That kind of support means that you don't have to rely so much on parents to pick up the pieces for children, or to make sure that they don't experience that kind of threat of downward mobility, right? So in those situations, you don't have as much of this helicopter parenting mentality, research finds, because that anxiety and that inequality are not so great.
In a lot of American culture and politics, the concern there is that, well, wait a minute, you're giving people stuff that they didn't work for and earn if you're giving too much of a safety net anyway. Is that something, do you see us going from what we have in the United States to what you're talking about with that pretty common attitude?
Yeah, it is an ideal in America that you of individualism, and that you don't want to rely on government and so on. And those are, you know, laudable principles. I think we've taken it too far in the sense that we really focus on blaming other people for their misfortunes and for the situations they're in, and also legitimizing the inequalities we have by saying that, you know, it's all about, you know, what you do and the hard work you put in. And that is an extreme that becomes a problem when the reality is shifting. That the well-advantaged can really shore up their own place in society and also the place of their kids in society. Whereas for working people, working families, that ability to kind of guarantee that upward mobility has declined. And so we have just a very different situation for the wealthy in this country versus the rest of us who are more in the situation of sinking or swimming based on our own merits and without any kind of collective solution, whether it was labor unions in the past or other sorts of politics to really change the situation for people overall.
We continue our conversation about the downsides of American meritocracy with sociologist Victor Tan Chen from Virginia Commonwealth University. He looks at the big college admission scandal featuring celebrities and wealthy people and says that's a symptom of a deeper problem. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about what our guest has to say about access to resources, how it determines who can get that college education, the good job, concerns about that building and building on inequality in the United States? Call 800-642-1234. And has this been a source of anxiety in your life, making sure your kid has as good as or better life than you do? 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Let's bring on a caller now. Chris is with us in Waupaca County. Chris, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about,
Chris? Can you hear
me
now?
Yep, go for it.
I just wanted to say that my son put himself through school. We're a middle-class family. We helped him out when we could, but he worked 40 hours a week to pay for his school. He worked weekends. He also had fun and learned things, but he also has a good job now. It's a middle-class job, but he's got insurance, benefits. He's 24. He's not living at home. And I do have a problem with this helicopter parenting. We do have lots of jobs in Wisconsin. You just have to work, and you have to work more than 10 hours a week to put yourself through school. I really do have a problem with all of this, that parents have to help out with money and that I should use my retirement to help my son get better in the world.
Chris, thanks a lot for the call. Victor, what do you think of what Chris had to say?
Well, first of all, kudos to Chris for her parenting and not buying into this helicopter kind of mentality. I think that it's absolutely true that there's some unhealthiness to always intervening and in your children's lives. The problem is that helicopter parenting, to some extent, works. That involvement in kids' lives and kind of managing their time and making sure they have proper enrichment, that's the path that a lot of kids can take to elite schools and to the kind of good jobs that are still left in this society. So I think, and as I said before, parents across the socioeconomic spectrum believe in involved parenting. The problem is that certain parents are better able to engage in that and better able to help their kids out. And that kind of increases and exacerbates the inequalities we have in our society. So I think there's really a need to rethink, how how we parent and kind of reject some of this this focus, but unfortunately, it pays off in the academic world and in the labor market, and we got to recognize that in an unequal society in particular, that's going to be an incentive for parents to get involved because of that anxiety about their kids.
Thanks a lot for that call. Going out to Chris with us in Adams. Chris, hi.
Hi. I've been involved for a real long time in reforming the part of higher education that is in a different context. However, part of my case involves a woman who is the executive director of a foundation that gives a lot of money to the institution that I have been battling. It's a state-run institution, and so this is particularly abysmal. Her daughter got a major perk from that institution to put on her resume so that she could go to law school, and I suspect that she wasn't qualified for in any way, shape, or form. The money came from someplace that was supposed to go to working class students, basically, and so she took that away from somebody else. And I protested, and the university came after me like a bat out of hell. I also would like him to address the problem of the paltry sentences that people are getting for this. I think Lindsay Lohan got 14 days in jail. What does it say to people who have money that, okay, I could do 14 jails?
Chris, I'll jump in. You got a lot there. So first of all, she's saying there's abuses in the system. People who are connected, Victor, can get special perks. And you write in a piece about this, elite institutions coming up with lots of ways that their students can be president of this or that to look good on their college resume.
Yeah, I mean, that's a problem with elite schools in particular, just this gaming of the system. It recently just came out through all the litigation at Harvard over admissions that, you know, 43% of white students at Harvard are either legacies, athletes, children of donors or faculty. You know, that doesn't seem like a very meritocratic system there. And it's even worse, I think, you know, schools like Harvard are very good at, you know, providing substantial financial aid. I guess the bigger story is that all these other elite schools or like selective schools like USC and so on that's involved with the college admission scandal, you know, they really cater to, you know, affluent families and their children. And so there's this incentive built in to, you know, kind of look the other way about the lack of merit because of the way that they can get donations and so on from these wealthy families. So it's weird. Like we, for the rest of us, and work for working people, you know, there's an expectation you rise on your own merits. You work hard, you find that job, you work your way through school and so on. But then at the very top, you know, it's no holds barred there in terms of finding whatever kind of advantage you can to get into schools or to, you know, just somehow succeed through your connections. And you could do it through perfectly legal means, like donating a lot of money to a university. That gets you a spot at an elite school.
Thanks for that call. And Chris mentioned Lindsay Lohan. I think she meant Lori Loughlin in her sentence. We're talking to Victor Tan Chen from Virginia Commonwealth University, looking at inequality, meritocracy, access to educational and other resources in the United States. Back to your calls now. Dirk is with us in Madison. Dirk, hi.
Hi, yeah. As a father of high school and middle school kids, I tried to focus more on them achieving their own success on their own terms. So the world's never going to be fair, and other people may game the system. Other people may get advantages that people debate the fairness of. And I'm trying to impress upon them that they may not get into elite schools. They may not get opportunities or promotions or have an income at the pace they would like. But I'd like to see them get those kinds of achievements on a pace that's right for them and on their terms, because they achieved it. And it's especially important to me because my children are biracial, and the school is often referencing ways that they can help him achieve black excellence. And he responded to an email asking about that by jokingly, I think he meant to jokingly saying, "I'm white," but he really isn't interested in getting benefits based on, you know, things in his genetic code, things outside of his behaviors and character. And so things will come at the pace they will. And we really are not interested in universities helping us, programs helping us.
Gotcha, Dirk. We don't have too much time left. I want to get Victor in. Victor, with your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with Kurt that that's a healthy approach to parenting, and that's what we should want for our kids, that we shouldn't be so obsessed with their, you know, their status, which is part of our own status as parents. We should be focusing on just enjoying them and not so much on their achievements. And yet, I think the backdrop to our American story right now is that the growth of inequality makes those kinds of anxieties greater and pushes our culture in this really dysfunctional way. And we really need to resist that and think, you know, about our own values as parents and what we care about. And I think it wouldn't be about the level of success in the status of the college that really matters. It's other things, right? But that gets lost in this message of competition that we're subjected to.
Dirk, thanks for the call. Victor, we've talked a lot about some parents' individual approaches. In our last few moments, do you want to see bigger, more structural changes?
Yeah, I feel that the only way to deal with some of these issues is to take it out of parents' hands and not allow certain parents to really, you know, shape their children's lives in this, to this great extent and their outcomes. We gotta, and to do that, we need to deal with the growth of wealth inequality in this country on a more broad scale. That's really where the root of the problem is in terms of the culture that's being generated from this inequality.
Victor, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Rob.
We've been talking to Victor Tan Chen, Assistant Professor of Sociology at Virginia Commonwealth University. His latest book, by the way, is called Cut Loose, Jobless and Hopeless in an Unfair Economy. We talked to him today about what he sees as the dangers of American-style meritocracy, with news breaking again this week in the ongoing college admissions scandal.